Well, happy Thursday. Hope your week has been good thus far, and just a little bit more to go, and then we're into yet another weekend. It's time now for Perspectives from WFSU Public Media. I'm Tom Flanagan, and before we get underway, a reminder, you're always invited to be part of the conversation via phone and email. 850-414-1234 is the number. Perspectives@WFSU.org is the email address. Boy, Tallahassee's tourism history goes all the way back to 1539. A bunch of Spanish tourists wound up along the northern edge of what would be called Myers Park about 400 years after that. And they decided to camp out there for the winter and celebrate Christmas and that kind of thing. I don't think they visited Governor Square because that wasn't there yet, but there may have been other shopping options at that point. I don't know. There's also a legend that says they were trying to find Wakulla Springs but took a wrong turn on Capitol Circle. We're still trying to verify that. But anyway, the capital city remains a popular place to visit beyond the yearly invasion of lawmakers, lobbyists, and rabid college football fans. And to talk about that, we welcome back Carrie Post, who's executive director of Visit Tallahassee, which is essentially the Leon County Division of Tourism. Carrie's tourism marketing career, long and distinguished from her days promoting Ybor City in Tampa, to a long stint at Visit Florida, where, in full disclosure, I worked alongside Carrie from 1997 until 2004. She spent some time at the Florida Secretary of State's office, was a prime spark plug of the Viva Florida campaign in 2013, now heads up the Tallahassee visitor marketing effort, and she returns to these friendly microphones to say hi again, Carrie Post. How are you?
Wonderful, Tom. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Well, you guys in the tourism industry locally just came off of a big meeting this week, so give us the bird's eye lowdown. What transpired during that get-together, and who all was involved in that?
Well, it was a hurricane readiness meeting. As you know, we are approaching the peak hurricane season time, but although we're not going to have one this year, I'm telling everybody, you have to be prepared. You have to be prepared. So we had about 50 industry leaders were there. We heard from Kevin Peters, our the county emergency management director, a number of other folks on what the tourism, not just what tourism's role is in that, in the emergency operation center, but also our role is in the community and working with all the businesses, the tourism businesses there. So we covered predominantly preparation, you know, considerations and communication, as we all know, is essential in, you know, any type of emergency situation, you know, be it hurricanes or anything else. So we talked a lot about that. Hit some highlights from the season so far, the year so far, again, which is all up. All of our indicators are up. It's a very strong year for us. And it kind of wrapped it with, again, kind of looking ahead to the fall. So we have these annual meetings. It was, again, very well attended, very well received. And again, it was something we have consciously made an effort to do in the past couple of years to be very intentional to engage with the industry and have these industry meetings periodically throughout the year. And the annual meeting for hurricane preparedness is an important one.
Particularly since, for those folks who perhaps have not been here, during a storm that does not primarily affect us but impacts an area to the east or the west of us especially, we become a refuge for a lot of folks who are fleeing the coastal area and storm surge and that kind of thing. So we become an inadvertent visitor destination when those things happen very often.
That's correct. I mean, every storm is different. We've learned that in the last 3 years, but exactly that. You know, when you look at the Hermine, you know, and kind of how obviously that we were more the target there. So we had a lot of folks from the coast come up and stay here. But then Irma, we had a lot of folks from the East Coast come here and evacuate here. And then, you know, Irma took a turn right towards Tallahassee and us. And then all of a sudden we again become the impact site. Thankfully, you know, we dodged that bullet and it continued to go further north to the east. But and then Michael, of course, as we know. So, yes, at any given time we've got, you know, whether we are hosting the evacuees, whether we're hosting the all of the recovery crews that come in, the utility lines, the folks that will help come and cut and toss, as I've learned to the term, to clear the roads. But yes, tourism does play a role in that logistically. We have a seat at the Emergency Operations Center. And so it's not just communicating to the visitors that we would be hosting here that came here to evacuate, but also when it may be in the next week or two, we have groups planning to come here or sporting events. I mean, we've had to cancel our big cross-country meet two of the 3 years due to hurricanes. So again, there's a lot of events that it's communicating with the visitors that are planning to come to the destination after the storm. So again, after we assess it and say, are we ready to receive visitors or not? You know, so we have a very important role in communicating to visitors, both in market and those that are planning to come.
You mentioned in the course of the meeting here this week, you communicated to the industry that the indices, the numbers are looking pretty good. What's driving that, do you think?
Well, I think a couple of things. I think if there is a silver lining to Hurricane Michael, particularly the fall numbers were strong because, as you know, we served as a base camp for the recovery to our neighbors to the west that were hit so hard. So that ended up bringing a lot of support groups here to aid those areas. So that filled our hotels. Again, and that's also, you know, football season was then too. So we basically, our occupancy rate last year in 2018 was about 63% is kind of the annual average. This year, our occupancy average to date is 74%. And so it's part the Hurricane Michael, it's part a new administration. It's also when legislative sessions occur in March and April, they tend to be stronger in visitation than January and February for some reason. I think it has more to do when we look at it in the length of the committee meetings and, you know, all of the prep leading up to it. It's a little more abbreviated session when it's in, you know, the pre-committee, all the committee meetings leading up to session. It's a more compressed time frame than when session lies in March and April. And I think, I don't know whether it's just more people are able to come up, but we do see typically stronger visitation with a March-April session too. As well.
I did hear from an old Capitol hand that part of that is also when you're in the January-February session, which always takes place during an election year. The expectation is you're not going to get as much done because you are coming up on the election. And so a lot of out-of-town lobbyists who otherwise might descend on the Capitol figure, we're going to hold off till next year. This is not going to fly, whatever we're for or against, because you try to do as much as possible not to make yourself vulnerable during an election year. So that may have something to do with it.
That makes a lot of sense, Tom. I can that is reasonable.
Well, hey, we got some happy stuff to talk about as well in addition to those numbers, Carrie. Once again, Florida's capital city is in the running for a major accolade from Southern Living, right?
Indeed we are. Very, very excited to have learned a couple of weeks ago that for the second time, we are on the list for consideration by Southern Living magazine and all their outlet, which reaches like 10 million people, for South's Best City. So again, this is our second time. We earned number 9 spot last year, which was tremendous. And among some pretty incredible, you know, kind of a competition. Other cities, you've got Charleston and Savannah and Nashville and you know, a lot of the major, you know, cities. We were the only city in Florida on the list. And again, our goal this year is to move up our ranks. We're number 9 this year, but for 2020, we want to aim for the top there, see if we can. And we know that's a big challenge, but we want all your listeners and everybody here to make sure they are voting because it is crowdsourced. It is all by online voting. And so, again, what is exciting, too, this year is in addition to being on the list, and you have to even be on the list to be considered to even win, So in addition to being South's best city, we are also on the list for the South's best college town. So that's a new category. So we're very excited about to be included on that. And the a third place where we are on the list is for the South's best garden centers. Tallahassee Nurseries is listed on that. So we've got three ways, there are three votes to get out there again. And this type of recognition is a real big milestone for our community, I believe, because, again, this is our second year. And it's great to start gaining the national attention that I believe this community well deserves.
And how much does that really mean in terms of both the paper circulation and the online penetration of Southern Living magazine?
They reach about 10 million people between their readerships, their digital, their social, all of that. So again, the visibility and frankly, the credibility, you know, that it comes with being on there, because people are like, oh, they've heard about Tallahassee. But then when you look in to see, you know, that type of recognition is really a testament to our growing reputation as a community, and particularly from a travel and lifestyle perspective. But again, if it's good for residents, it's good for visitors, because think about all of our innovative restaurants and culinary scene, our entertainment districts, certainly all of our spectacular outdoor recreation, of course. And then we've got, of course, the colleges and the excitement there and the football. So and being very also a very family-friendly destination. So it truly is a testament to the vitality of our community.
Talking tourism on this edition of Perspectives on WFSU Public Media, what is your favorite attraction in and around Florida's capital city? When folks call you up and say, what is there to do around your neck of the woods, what do you tell them? Would love to hear from you. 414-1234 or send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. We are talking to Carrie Poston. We'll be right back. We are back on Perspectives. Carrie Post, who is the director of Visit Tallahassee, here with us talking about the great competition where, once again, Tallahassee is in the top 10 for Southern Living magazine as one of the hot, hip, happening cities of the South. And are we really changing our reputation, do you think, Carrie, with the, you know, college town, and you mentioned the restaurants and all the other cool stuff that we have. Is it changing us?
I do. I believe that our perception out there is evolving, no question. And it stands to reason, because we as a community are evolving. When you think about how Tallahassee was even 3 and 5 years ago, you look at college town. You know, you look at, you know, the obviously you've got Midtown and then the Market District and Uptown, you know, and then you look kind of all around from look at the craft brew scene and the culinary scene. So we as a destination are absolutely evolving. And again, a designation like this from Southern Living really is a testament to show that people are recognizing that, and not just from the standpoint we're receiving this national recognition, but that we as a community are truly one of the best as far as, you know, what our offerings are. So I think, yes, our perception is expanding, and rightfully so.
Not only are we expanding in that target demographic, that kind of 25 to 49 young professionals, that sort of thing, but you have initiatives now like Choose Tallahassee that's going after the retiree market, which is a totally separate kettle of fish that you can deal with as well.
Absolutely. And think about it, that before you retire anywhere, you're going to visit. You know, you're going to go there and check it out and see what there is to see and do. And again, the universities play a big hand in this, from the standpoint of they're always offering more of the lifelong learning opportunities and things like that. But the reality is we have terrific quality of life. And so whether folks are from South Florida and they're coming considering retirement or even visitation, you know, just they're coming for the weekend, for a getaway, you know, whether it's to the outdoors or, you know, a family thing, that people love it when they come up. We hear it constantly, you know, just about how beautiful our city is. We hear that every time from visitors, and they love it that, you know, they, it's very refreshing to a lot of folks because we don't have the traffic and a lot of the other aspects. We have all the amenities right now, but without all the headaches, you know. So.
Well, let's see. Speaking of refreshment and potential headaches, let's go to line one. That's where Scott awaits here on this issue of perspectives. Hey, Scott, how you doing, sir?
Good, Tom. How are you today?
Could not be doing better. Thanks for giving us a yell.
I just wanted to say that my best friend who lives in Orlando, he and his wife came up this weekend specifically to do a brewery tour in Tallahassee and visit all of the fantastic craft breweries that are here. We went and went out to Lake Tribe, Deep, Proof, Ology, ended up at Growler Country, but the craft beer scene, which is so amazing in Tallahassee right now, specifically brought them to Tallahassee for the whole weekend.
Wow, that is interesting. Talk about a focused kind of visit, huh?
It was fantastic. It was a lot of fun.
It's great to hear, but frankly, it's not surprising because when you look at, and Scott, I'm thrilled that your friends came up, and is that because we do have award-winning breweries here, that's from the craft brew scene, and exactly that. I mean, I hate to say it, but beer is a great motivator for travel, you know, that and Proof has won a lot of awards. You've got Ology, the Deep Tribe, you know, Irida Deep and Lake Tribe, that we have great craft breweries here. And so I'm not surprised. And we hear it. We do hear that a fair amount. We have two beer festivals here that keep growing every year. So I'm happy to hear that. And I bet your folks, or your friends that came up, probably had a good time here, didn't they?
Oh, they had a fantastic, fantastic time. Brought some brews to take back home to Orlando and share with friends. And it's just, that's something that over the last 2 or 3 years has been really exciting to see grow.
That is another amenity that we can add to the list. Scott, I really appreciate you bringing that up. And with, condolences to the fans of Grasslands, although I understand that there may be a redevelopment of that property. I'm trying to get a confirmation from Mr. Minardi on that one to see what you got going in there, because I have a feeling he's not going to let any grass grow under his feet on that one. Sorry about that. Something else that is going on, Carrie, that we need to talk about here is the development of other kinds of marketing strategies beyond the old line stuff, which I know you have been right on top of as far as the transition into more online social media kind of things. It's no longer just to throw out a printed visitor's guide, a few brochures at a visitor center, and got it covered, along with a little bit of maybe TV ads and that sort of thing. You have had to go just multifaceted on all this, and that's got to be more of a challenge than you used to have, say, 25, 30 years ago in tourism marketing.
Absolutely. I mean, everything is multi-channel, multimedia, and it's all going to be integrated and leveraged. And you're absolutely right. In technology, I mean, you've got to be where the people are and the conversation is, which is social media and the digital space. So everything we do predominantly digital and social media marketing. We do, because we do a little bit of print, but it gets reduced every year. But it truly is probably the smallest part of our budget is print. The rest is all digital, social. Happily, you might be happy to hear, we do some radio still. We have two areas of concentration, and that's the Tampa Bay market and the Atlanta market, where we do some radio there, again, because it's a great medium. But for us, you're absolutely right, is very much a multimedia mix. And as a matter of fact, we are working right now on creating a new destination app. And I have to be honest with you, I originally was not completely sold on this because I was, you know, I mean, felt like apps were very, you know, prominent a while ago, but not so much in the destination marketing space. and did a fair amount of research and realized there are some destination marketing organizations, some communities really doing it right, and realized this really could be a great tool for us, and frankly, not just for visitors, but for residents, because particularly as it comes to like our calendar of events, you know, you can just have everything right there. And again, so for us, we're in the process of developing one, very visually oriented, easy to navigate, and which should be up and running and launched this fall.
Wow. Let me tell my bank here. Maybe they can collaborate with you guys and make the app that we get from them a little bit more user-friendly. Hey, 414-1234 is our number. When friends and family get a hold of you and say, gee, what is there to do or what do you enjoy about living in Tallahassee that you frequent, what do you tell them? I'd love to hear from you on that score. Carrie Post with Visit Tallahassee here with us. You mentioned, of course, nature-based and historic tourism, that is your bailiwick for sure, and that remains a huge component of what you use to leverage more visitation to this area, right?
Correct. Absolutely. The outdoors particularly, we have in the last probably 2 years begin really a focused marketing effort on promoting our trails. And not just through trailahassee.com, which was a website that we've had, the destination has had for about 5 years. But about 2 years ago, we did a total refresh. But we are a prime destination for mountain biking. We have incredible mountain biking trails here. And I love it when my friends will tell me, it's like, mountain biking in Florida? Come on, Carrie. You know? And I have to tell them, I'm like, no. And so, between our mountain biking, our hiking, our paddling, our running trails. I mean, we're a running community anyway, but we have just a wealth of trails. So that has been a focused marketing effort for us in targeting our trails. Obviously, we'll go a little bit into like some of the birding and wildlife as part of that. But we also are currently pursuing what's called an IMBA designation. And it is an International Mountain Biking Association. They designate communities that have excellent mountain biking product. And it's a joint effort between TIMBA, not to be confused with IMBA, because IMBA is the International Mountain Biking Association. TIMBA is the Tallahassee Mountain Biking Association. So working with them, working with a county parks and rec, city parks and rec, the Tallahassee Sports Council, we are seeking a designation. And again, it brings us international recognition for our mountain biking trails. So we're pursuing that even as we speak. Again, just another way to elevate the visibility and visitation to our community.
The trail for mountain biking out of Tom Brown Park is killer. I have seen some people do that. It may not be Colorado, but boy, it comes pretty doggone close. That is a really challenging course.
We have several really challenging. I mean, first rate from a standpoint of mountain bike. As a matter of fact, we'll be having a mountain biking festival in the spring. That is going to be fairly large. So again, that is an emerging area for us, and because we have the product, whether it's just from a easier ride to exactly one where you're catching air and got to wear your helmet for sure, because you could
body armor the whole thing. Yeah.
Hit a route, and, you know. But again, a technology actually plays a role in this with GPS. But we have terrific mountain biking trails here, and again, that just to help our role too is to help promote that aspect, because people will travel to do the trails. As we like to say, not all of Florida is flat.
And well, we are sort of the foothills of the Appalachians here, which is where the Red Hills comes from. This is where the mountains start, guys. And let's see if there's any possibility we can interface with Vi here in a moment. Okay, we'll do that in just a sec here, because also we have some culinary excellence in this area, and it's not just confined to the multiplicity of fine restaurants that we find in our neck of the woods. Let's see if we can go to line one and see who awaits on there. Hey, Vi, this is Tom with Perspectives. How are you?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Hey, this is your favorite auntie, Peter Queen, at the farmer's market.
Yes, ma'am.
Lake Ella.
Mm-hmm.
Lake Ella Growers Market. and we are available for organic vegetables and the best falafel and pita in the whole area, I would say, and twice a week from 11 to 3. It is Saturday from 11 to 3 and Wednesday from 11 to 3.
Well,
this is the farmer's. Yes.
And we will keep that in mind. That's the Lake Ella's Farmers Market, and you guys are there twice a week. And I believe you are also trying to provide a more healthy and diverse diet to the waterfowl there at Lake Ella, right?
Correct. Yes, yes. Well, you saw us feeding the ducks twice a week with organic veggies and leaves, and we make the best pita and hummus and falafel all over.
Well, Vi, thank you for that reminder. All the best to your partner in crime there at the Lake Ella Farmers Market. And we also thank Florida A&M University for being a partner in that outreach as well. Thanks for checking in with us. And a reminder again, Carrie, that there's plenty of fresh fruits and vegetables that are available at the various farmers markets around this area here that also brings people to town.
Absolutely, and they also supply our restaurants. And again, we have from you hear a lot, but it feels like we've been doing this for a long time as the farm to table, because I mean that truly is what consumers are looking for. And because we have such great farmers, you know, nearby that are at the farmers market, so it's not just for consumers, but that they are supplying the restaurants that. Again, for us, we have a growing culinary scene, and some people are doing some innovative folks here in town. And we've had, several restaurants have closed, which I hate to see that happen. At the same time, we've also had a lot of new restaurants come online that, again, are unique to the marketplace and doing some really innovative, totally locally sourced, fresh, very creative menus. So the farmers, the local farmers and the fresh products do make a really big difference to visitors and for residents.
Yeah, and give us a little bit of, 30,000-foot overview on here. When people come out and say, oh, another one of my favorite eateries just shut. What's wrong with Tallahassee? Why can't we keep restaurants here? You do have a lot of churn in this industry, no matter where you are.
You really do. The restaurant industry, it's tough, the restaurant business. And unfortunately, that there is that evolution and frankly, it's kind of a life cycle, if you will, for some restaurants, and some have been able to maintain that sweet spot, and while others, it's a challenge. And unfortunately, I think that's part nature of the beast, but also part that while I hate to see some of those kind of favorites go, but there's also new ones that have come online. You look at like Lucilla and Eluso. And, so some of these others, a new Maria, a Cuban place, so we're getting, some new and different ones as well. So it's always kind of this ebb and flow. And again, I would just encourage residents to, and I know we're all creatures of habit and you like to go to your favorite places, but we have some incredible restaurants in every part of this community to get out and go explore some of those places that you've never been before, and you will be incredibly surprised at how wonderful our restaurant offerings are in this community.
Not to mention the vibrant food truck scene where they actually bring the restaurant to you for all of these different kind of events and happenings that we have around town. Which brings us to, again, one of the little gems in our community that so many people poo-pooed when the idea was first broached several years ago, which is Cascades Park.
Which is now a cornerstone of our community, and if it's good for residents, it's good for visitors. But when you look at what's going on there at any time, there's people always in the park, families and couples, and for visitors, that is downtown. When I talk to a lot of the hotels that are here, that's the number one place that people want to go, whether they're jogging in the morning, whether they're, walking around, going to the restaurant or just want to go walk around. It is a centerpiece to our community. It truly is.
And there's more development that's coming along down there. I know that has had its share of controversy as well, but that seems to be pretty well fast-tracked and will be added to that amenity before too terribly long. But the entire redevelopment of this community is happening at a pace that I have never seen. And we've been here now for, oh my gosh, it seems incredible, but 40 years, have never seen anything like this.
We've got momentum going on right now, no question about it. We have, last year in 2018, 3 new hotels opened, and we have 7 more on the books right now. And again, there are various from very budget price to all the way up to 4-star, but there's a gamut of new properties coming online. You mentioned the development at Cascades. That is just going to activate that area with a Marriott AC hotel. You've got to have other shops, restaurants. We're actually going to have a little satellite visitor center there as well. And again, when you couple that development with the magnificent Cascades Park, it's going to be tremendous down there.
When friends and family talk to you, what do you recommend as far as what there is to do in Tallahassee, to go to see, to enjoy? We'd love to hear from you along that score. And that is 414-1234, our number here on Perspectives. You can zip us an email, too, that address, perspectives@wfsu.org. A quick time out, then back to continue our chat with Carrie Post, who heads up Visit Tallahassee. We'll return. We are exploring the possibilities here in the beautiful capital city of Florida area. What is there to do and see and keep you occupied and entertained and enchanted and all those wonderful things? And no one is better equipped to answer those kind of questions than Carrie Post. God, you've been in Tallahassee now for how long?
Well, more than 20 years.
Yeah. Really ensconced in the community and all, and see, you thought you were going to just kind of bounce around, because let's face it, tourism marketing is kind of a nomadic field. You see people going from place to place to place, and when they get really good at this kind of stuff.
I moved up here from the Tampa Bay area. I still have family down there, but I wouldn't want to live anywhere else than right here.
Well, Carrie, despite the budget that you have from Leon County and industry partners and all of that to help the promotion of visitor marketing to the big wide world, still there is nothing that compares to having someone who is a native or pretty close to it give you a recommendation of what there is to do and see and enjoy and all that. So, but you leverage that kind of thing in your business.
Absolutely. And I mean, think about it, just even in our own lives, how much we value, friends and family, when they go, oh, we just went here and we did this, same thing. People say, oh, well, I went down to Wakulla Springs and got to see, all these alligators and the water looks great. And, and then they tell people, well, I want to go. And so clearly, the friends and family component is essential. And in our community of the nearly 2.5 million visitors that come to Tallahassee each year, 23% stay with friends and family. And so it is important for us to try to encourage and incentivize, in a way, residents to get out and explore their own backyard, because, to really see. And again, I had shared earlier about think about how this community has changed in the last 3 to 5 years. And what all the new developments, but whether new restaurants and new entertainment districts, but this is there. We have momentum in this community. There's no doubt. And so to capitalize on that, and so we launched a program in May called Seasoned Local, and it is purely designed to encourage residents to explore this community and go to a different restaurant, go to a different event, go to a different district or different park, And it's basically a seasonal bucket list. And who doesn't love a good bucket list? So go to seasonedlocal.com and you will see the summer list. We've only got about 3 or 4 more weeks of the summer list, and then we'll release a new bucket list in the fall for, again, just cool stuff to do. And then you can also, there's kind of like the bucket list challenge of if you do 10 things on the list, you can get some cool TLH sunglasses or hats, or you can get some TLH swag, you know, just by doing that. Because, again, we want to encourage people to explore different parts of the community, different attractions, to, you know, and if you haven't been out to different attractions to go see them, again, to really get out of our own little bubble, so to speak, of, you know, where we are, to really experience all this community has to offer.
And you can also explore it, at least for the moment, on scooters as well as other kinds of motor vehicles. They are everywhere.
Yes, they are. And my team, frankly, is super excited about it. And I've used them. But a lot of communities around the country, you know, are utilizing them with varying degrees of success, I think. But I know we're in a pilot phase right now with the 5 companies. I think that was smart to do, to kind of see how this shakes out. I do think there is a demand for it. You hear a lot in tourism, or just in, about the last mile. Like, we can get people to come to the hotel, you know, but then say they want to go explore this museum, or they want to, you know, they're downtown, they want to go to the Grove or something like that, that they can hop on a scooter and go. Make it easy in that last part to get around. And scooters could have a role for that. But there's got to be the balance of a number of factors, safety and the management of them themselves. But I do think overall, having that alternative in the destination be good once they can work out some of the bugs and the kinks in that.
Yeah, and if that doesn't work, you always have Mike Goldstein and his pedicabs that are out there. Because you cannot go more than 10 feet in this community without running into Mike and his crew as they ferry people around in the pedicabs.
Absolutely, and that's that other option, you know, of, you know, because you've got to, you know, some folks, scooters aren't going to be for everybody, you know, so the pedicab is a great alternative. And again, any of those types that I think you experience a community more when you're, you know, in not necessarily in your car, when you're walking around, or if you're getting, you know, you're on a little scooter or a pedicab, I think it you get to see a different aspect of the destination.
Not getting into the politics at all, but because of the common background both of us had with Visit Florida here, there have been some changes there. Does that hurt you guys and other local destination marketing companies, maybe having a little bit less help from them that you might otherwise, and you have to deal with that as well?
So far, which I know they did a significant downsizing several months ago, we've not been impacted by it, but because we do a lot of PR with them, bringing in, hosting media and things like that, so they're still leveraging that because there's not a lot of costs on their side, certainly with that, but giving us exposure. They're still planning to do some of the meeting planner shows that we go to. So far, we really haven't seen that much. I think the variety and number of programs is reduced. But in our view, what we've seen is some of the core benefits that we get from our partnership with them, thankfully, are still remain.
Yeah, and it's still going to be an industry-driven kind of situation. As you had mentioned earlier in the program, what you're trying to do, you cannot do unilaterally. You've got to get the private sector involvement because it is in their best interest to present this united front to the visitor market anyway, instead of everyone running off in their own little disconnected direction.
Absolutely, and they helped us quite a bit after Hurricane Michael because people thought Tallahassee was damaged, and that we had experienced, you know, some of the destruction that unfortunately our neighbors to the west did. And they helped us right away by coming out and doing some Facebook videos. They helped leverage a message, again, amplified what we were doing to say we were open for business. But as we know, I mean, there's if a lot of folks are geographically challenged when it comes to Florida. They don't realize how big we are. And so they thought, oh, gosh, that Tallahassee's been impacted. And because we got calls and emails, and they helped us get the word out, which and have offered us some programs earlier this year to gain us some exposure in international markets that we could never do on our own. For example, I mean, I think we had some UK journalists and some from Germany. I think we're getting hosting some other German journalists in the fall, which the Germans love the outdoor product. They love all of our trails and our outdoor. So, again, they provide a lot of benefit to us, and we are certainly going to do what we can to support them because they do provide an essential service to us as the destination marketing organization.
And looking at that desire for authenticity, which is not just endemic to the international visitor market, although it is really acute there. You talk to someone in the UK or Germany or in Central America, and they want to see the real USA. Yes, you have the wonderful attractions, Universal and Disney and all of that in Central Florida. But let's face it, that is kind of an artificial reality, and many people are now really hungering to see the real deal. And so that puts Tallahassee on a leg up position because we don't have a lot of artificiality here when it comes to the destination. Well, people might argue the capital is that, but we won't go there. No, no. But this is...
That's wildlife.
That
we?
Is wildlife. Yes, nature-based tourism. Come to the capital. You can see that. But what are our primary markets? You had mentioned... the rest of Florida and Atlanta as being two main drivers of our visitor. Are there any other places you're targeting here?
Absolutely. Well, we had about 50% of our visitation comes from Florida, from in-state. So we get about 50% of our visitation from there, 48% from outside Florida, but all in the country. So we have about 48%. Our big feeder markets, and this will not be surprising, is Atlanta, which of course, but then we've got Charlotte is another big one. Dallas is growing. That also helps. Those are all direct flight markets, too, that come into our community. But we are essentially a drive market. I mean, we get 80% of our visitors come by car, 20% by air. But the folks that come by air tend to spend more money and stay longer. But we certainly do target in-state markets that are large. We kind of have a trifecta of large markets, and it's intuitive when you think of how large these markets are. But Tampa, Orlando, and Miami and Lauderdale are our biggest feeder markets in-state. So we do some marketing, obviously, targeted there, particularly for a lot of events that we do, because events are great motivators for travel. But Atlanta from, like I said, out of state, and Charlotte, we're doing a little in Birmingham. But Dallas, like I said, is another focused area of focus for us. So, yeah, the Southeast predominantly and in-state is where our key feeder markets.
And you mentioned events, and we now, at least for a big chunk of the year, are like back-to-back-to-back-to-back events, major things, whether it's Word of South or some of the other things that are going on. Springtime Tallahassee, of course, always being a major driver, but additional happenings that are bringing in visitors to this market.
Absolutely. And if I can do a little myth busting, there is that common perception that we're pretty much our visitors come during legislative session and football season. But frankly, the data just doesn't bear that out. We get approximately 25% of our visitors each quarter. And it may be like 22% one quarter, 27% or 28% another quarter, but we don't have these big wide swings that a lot of the coastal community gets. And this is largely due to us bidding for and securing bringing in amateur sporting events throughout the year as the ones that kind of buoy our numbers, like cross country, for example. That brings us business at a time when we need it. Also, we've got a great sports team that the Florida High School Athletic Associations, the football, high school football championships are going to be held here in Tallahassee now for the next 5 years in December when we need the business. So it's a lot of the amateur sports are what's really buoying us year round.
That and what used to be the landfill out there off of Apalachee Parkway, the regional cross country facility, now is bringing in thousands and thousands of people every year.
It is a tremendous driver for us. It is truly, and this is not an overstatement. It is our Augusta, it is our Omaha, because we are now, and it's not bragging if it's true, about the course of choice for cross-country championships in the country. We were awarded the NCAA championship for in 2021. Just this year so far, the sports team has secured 14 cross-country events out at Apalachee Regional Park. And they range from, you know, it's FSU Invitational to the Florida State High School Athletic Association. They're the cross-country for the state of Florida. Whether it's the NCAA regionals, USA track and field, we held the National Junior Olympics for cross country, had 10,000 people for this one event. And it is really tremendous. And I always like to joke and tell folks in the fall, if you can't get into your favorite Italian restaurant on a Friday night, and there's a whole bunch of really, really skinny people here, that's because we got the cross country runners in town. Loading up on carbs before the race on Saturday morning. But it is a tremendous asset, and I would encourage folks to keep your eye out for it. Come out and see it. There is spectators. We can bring in anywhere from, you know, 3,000 to 5,000 athletes per meet. And then especially if they're kids, they bring their family and their, you know, siblings and all that. And we can have anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 people out at, I mean, observing, just rooting on the athletes. So, well, it's quite the event.
As we wind down, Carrie, you bring up a fascinating analog, which is in the world of finance, you always diversify your portfolio a little bit here, a little bit there. Stocks, bonds, cash, blah. It sounds like we're kind of headed in the same direction when it comes to visitor marketing in this area. It's not all one thing. It is a multiplicity of, in some cases, vastly different things that drive this whole.
You are absolutely right. Our target audiences, we have a wide array, because you have to speak to your audience with the right message at the right time, you know, that in the right way that's going to resonate with them. And so if we're going after, you know, say the mountain bike folks, you know, in that community, we've got to speak that language. So you're absolutely right. We have a list of like profiles of our target audiences, because we know where we can reach them and we know the message we have to reach them with. We just always wish we had more money so we could, you never have enough money to market, but we do what we can and leverage all we can, because you're exactly right. We have to speak to many different audiences that, again, our destination appeals to.
Which also leads to a greater overall health for the tourism industry in this area, because you're not totally dependent on one thing. If suddenly Disney goes bust, God forbid, in Central Florida, that is a major chunk of that economy which is gone. If we have another one or two restaurants that go out of business in Tallahassee, maybe not so much.
Correct. And we are very much diversified. And again, we target not just from an interest standpoint, but, you know, psychographically, geographically. So it is mixed. Like I said, we do in-state, out-of-state. You know, exactly that. You've got to be touching all the markets and be in all the different spaces.
Complicated stuff. And if you want to find out more, you can visit Carrie and her new digs, which are down there right off of Railroad Square, right?
Yep, they will be. Right now, it's being restored. We are moving into the 150-year-old historic Amtrak station there. So right now in our interim offices downtown, while they are restoring and you know, renovating that space, which is going to just really, we're going to add to that community. There's already so much going on down there, from the excitement of the arts and culture and energy with FAMU Way and Railroad and Gaines and Railroad Square and everything that's happening. We are delighted to be coming into the community, and that'll be probably in the mid to later part next year.
Can't wait to come down and visit you there and to find out what new, exciting, different, wonderful things are happening as far as promoting Florida's capital city and the surrounding environs, because it is kind of a regional effort here, folks. It's not just within the city center. There's a lot of other stuff that's going on in and around Tallahassee that Carrie Post and her terrific staff at Visit Tallahassee are going to be involved in getting the word out. So, and we got to do that too, guys. We got to do our part. So the next time someone calls and says, hey, what's there to do down there? Please don't say nothing, because there's a lot. Carrie Post, thanks so much for coming on Perspectives today and giving us an update on tourism in Tallahassee.
Great. Thank you so much for having me, Tom.
Perspectives produced by WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee. Technical assistance today by Taylor Cox, pushing the buttons, and Lydell Rawls on all the interface. And I'm Tom Flanagan. In just a few weeks, Tallahassee will be the site of a major conference focused on the concept of restorative justice. Now, what exactly is that? And what potential does it have to impact our kind of overwhelmed criminal justice system? We're going to be talking about it next week right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.